Once again, we've been blessed to be able to come out on this beautiful day to worship the only true and living God. And we appreciate so very much the presence of everyone. We have a fine-looking crowd. We also have some visitors. We want you to know we appreciate your presence. We've had some that said they were here 3 years ago, and they actually came back again. So that's always a positive note. But we're glad you're with us, and pray that your travels will be safe. As most know, this is a day that our nation has set aside to honor our earthly fathers. And that's certainly fitting, and it's certainly proper. It started in 1972 when President Nixon signed a proclamation making the third Sunday in June Father's Day. And just like we honor our mothers, our earthly mothers, we honor our earthly fathers. What's interesting is when Jesus was on the earth, he actually showed us how deity loves. And in fact, he even gave us one of the most beloved parables that shows us, because the Father in this parable represents our Heavenly Father, God. And just as we honor our earthly fathers, I want to take a few minutes this morning and honor our Heavenly Father. And notice some attributes that are taught in this parable. Now, most of us are familiar with it. It's known as the parable of the prodigal son. Even if you've never heard this beautiful parable, you've seen it played out time and time again, because it's just not ancient history. It's the conditions, not only then, but even of now. It's timeless. And this really is a circle of true religion. This parable will soften the most hardened of hearts. Now, we refer to it as the parable of the prodigal son, which is fitting, but it could well be referred to as the parable of the loving father. Because as I indicated, the Father in this parable shows us how our Heavenly Father is. And so let's notice for a few minutes and honor our Heavenly Father and reassure our faith that we have in Him and His attributes. When you look at this, the first thing we notice is the prodigal's father had a dividing love. We're instructed there in verses 11 and 12 of Luke 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to them his living. Oh, so we see here that the father divided, not just to the son that asked, but to them. It was not uncommon during this time for the fathers, the parents, to give the inheritance while they were still living. The eldest got two-thirds, the youngest got one-third. And so when you look here, there's no denying that the father was generous. He was a generous father. And generosity is a trait that many fathers never learn. Now, this son who is leaving home, you might notice he didn't make any accusations against the father. In fact, he called him father. And there's a lesson there. There are a lot of fathers today that act in such a way that their own children can't call them father. And that indeed is sad. What we learn from this is our Heavenly Father has a dividing love. He shares with us the wealth of the universe. He treats us as sons, not slaves. In fact, we all know that it is God who gave us life, Genesis 2:7. But we also know that He's generous. James 1:17, we learn every good and every perfect gift is from above. and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. John 3:16 tells us his greatest gift, doesn't it? Jesus. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So our Heavenly Father is a generous Father. But like the Father in this parable, he is also a kind Father. The psalmist spoke of this in Psalms 36:7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And then I have Titus 3:4, because Paul, through the Spirit, writing to Titus, said, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Notice it says the kindness and love of God. So there's no denying that our Heavenly Father has a dividing love. And that ought to comfort us. But then the prodigal's father also had a grieving love. We read in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now I might throw in here, when it says far country, any place of sin, any place a person goes and tries to live without God is a far country of sin. It could be right across the street. But we'll notice here that the father let the boy leave home. He couldn't have done anything else and treated him like a son. But when you look at the father, no doubt it grieved him in his heart to see his son go. And probably he spent a lot of sleepless nights thinking about that boy. And that's the way it is. It hurts us when those we love don't listen to us. And they make decisions in life that we know as parents aren't good for them. Likewise, it hurts our Heavenly Father, see? And you know the story, the decision the boy made, it cost him greatly. We'll just briefly notice these verses to remind those who may have forgotten. But in verse 14 through 19, we're told of his decision and where it led. It says that when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. In other words, he's out of money, the party's over. What's he do? Verse 17, and when he came to himself. Now that implies he had been away from himself, hadn't it? That's what sin does. It's insane. It doesn't make you think right. He came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. See, in the same way, our Heavenly Father, like the father in this parable, grieves. He has a grieving love. He grieves over those sinners who forsake him, who leave him. Remember Noah in the long ago in Genesis 6? We're told in verse 5 and 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And notice it says, and it grieved him at his heart. It hurts God when we sin against him. He grieves over that. The Hebrew writer made reference to when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness, how God felt. They constantly disobeyed him. In Hebrews 3:10, it says, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Now, I might point out, while God may grieve over sins of people, he doesn't force anyone to come to him. He made man as a free moral agent. The Bible teaches this. Remember, Jesus talked about two roads? In Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, he said, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, which leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. See, that foolish young son was on the broad road. He said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. See, we get to choose. God lets us choose. You can be like the prodigal son. You can take the broad road. God will let you. In fact, in Matthew 11, when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That invitation is to everyone. But guess what? Not everyone answers it. Why? Because we make a choice. It's not what we want to do. The young boy that left home, he wanted a life without restraints. He didn't want anybody telling him how to live. He knew it all. And see, God grieves when we don't obey him. He also grieves when we do, when we leave, like this prodigal did. But then we learn something else. The prodigal's father had a forgiving heart. When you look there in verse 20 and 21 of Luke 15, we're told, and he arose. Now remember, he came to himself. He woke up in the hog pen. It says in verse 20, and he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, I want you to keep that phrase in your mind for a minute. When he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, son. And the son said unto him, father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Remember that phrase, when he was a great way off? Can't you just picture the scene? Every night since that boy left, the father going to sleep, trying to, praying, hoping that maybe tomorrow, every day he woke up, by the providence of God, maybe today's the day that he's going to come home. Maybe my boy will come back. And so he probably looked for him. He saw him when he was a great way off. I tell you, there's many a father and mother who have been in that same situation, and they look for that wayward child to come home. Because our love is always turned toward the wayward repenting. I doubt that father ever gave up hope that one day he'd see that boy again. That's the way our Heavenly Father is. First sight of this boy coming home, when we read in verse 20, it stirred the compassion in the father. You remember? It says he had compassion, he ran, he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. There was no, I told you so. Isn't that what a lot of people say? Well, here he comes again. He's coming home now. You should have listened to me. There was none of that. Father was just happy that his boy had come home. The grief of the past was lost in the joy of the present. His boy had returned. Well, likewise, that's the way our Heavenly Father is. You look there in Luke 15, 22 through 24. Notice what the father did. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Remember, the boy expected to only be treated as a servant. He knew the servants were treated better than he was. But his father restored him to full sonship. See, our Father, our Heavenly Father, is like this Father. He has a forgiving love. And that's what this beautiful parable offers to us, encouragement. That every prodigal who's wandered off into the far country and makes a decision to come back to God. And when you think about our Heavenly Father, remember what the psalmist said in Psalms 86, verse 15? But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. See, our God is a compassionate God. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. Think about that. Leave you one last verse. Peter, in 2 Peter 3, 8, 9, points this fact out so well. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you can read the next verse where it talks about when He sends Jesus back. The only reason Jesus hadn't come back is because God is long-suffering. He wants everyone to be saved. Our Heavenly Father has a forgiving love, just like the Father in this parable. It may be you're in the far country of sin, just like this young boy was. And I'm going to tell you something. We've all been there. I've been there. I can't speak for everybody, but any place is a far country of sin when you're living there without God. But I've been in the far country of sin. First time I read this as a young boy, I didn't think much about it. But then as I got older, when I left home, and then I read it again, I said, they wrote a story about Rufus. It's what they did. The Holy Spirit did. I know what it's like. And I'm just so thankful that I lived and God gave me time to repent. Or as I like to say, I'd have been shaking hands with the rich man in Hades. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? Now it may be today that you're a Christian who's gone back into the far country of sin. Well, you need to understand that just like the Father, God will restore you to full sonship. All you have to do is repent. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. You've already contacted the blood in baptism. As Andy Griffith said, I'll never forget a phrase years ago. He said, I have some fence mending to do. Well, that's what every sinner has to do that's left God. You got to make it right. Come today and tell God, I'm sorry, and ask us to pray for you. We will, and He'll restore you the full sonship. Maybe you have never obeyed the gospel. God only promises to save those in Christ. Good news is, you can get in Christ today by faith, repentance, confess Him to be the Son of God, then put Him on in baptism where you contact that soul-saving blood. But you got to remain faithful. The wondering days have to cease. We're not told what happened after that prodigal came home, just other than what the elder brother did. That's another sermon. But I bet he learned his lesson, don't you? I bet his wandering days were over. I know I learned my lesson. That's the beauty of this parable. It not only teaches us of the tragedy of sin and the sinner. And it's tragic, friend, I'm telling you. It also teaches us about the beauty and the mercy of our Heavenly Father. So as we honor our earthly fathers today, I hope we'll all honor our Heavenly Father and thank Him for being such a loving, merciful, forgiving, and long-suffering Father. And you need to know, just like the Father in this parable, as we get ready to sing this song, He's watching. He's waiting to see who will come. Will today be the day? I pray that you'll put the past behind you, come to God, and start again. If we can help you in any way, we hope you'll do so as we stand and sing.